Blog Talk Radio.
If you didn't care, what happened to me? I didn't care for you. We would zigzag away through the bottom of pain, occasionally glancing up through the rain, wondering which of the brothers to blame. And watching the pigs on the wing.
Good evening and welcome to American Conservative Party Talk Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm Bill.
I thought about it at the last second that I wanted to put that song on as the bumper, and I'm just sitting there thinking, like, when pigs fly, and I'm just thinking, this is great, good idea. Love it.
Oh, there goes another one.
Oh, the sausage.
Oh man.
Good evening, Bill. How the hell are you?
Hey, you know what? It is a gorgeous autumn afternoon in my part of the woods here, and I'm standing out here in the front looking over at the hill on the other part of the valley and noticing that we've got some trees turning color, and the sun is shining, and the shadows are long, and it is a balmy evening.
Balmy?
Balmy. As
like in the 70s balmy?
Well, let me see. I don't know. 70s? Yeah, probably a little bit more than that right now, maybe.
You're a couple hours ahead. You're a couple hours behind, so...
Actually,
you
know, we're about 80, 83.
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been sleeping with the window open. It's actually been several... although closing it in the middle of the night when it gets a little bit too cool, but... yeah, the house has been open for the most part, for about the last week here.
Yep. Al Gore hasn't been around, huh?
What?
Al Gore hasn't been around, huh?
Al Gore has not been anywhere.
Okay.
It also helps, this is going to be TMI, but I'm sorry, you guys have to know that this has gone on, because if you have pets, occasionally you have to deal with this particular problem.
Yes.
Everyone knows we have 3 dogs and a cat.
Yes.
I think our cat got a little bit of a bladder infection.
Oh, boy.
So she was piddling in the wrong places.
Yes.
Now,
that's bad.
That's bad. But, you know, it's something that I can deal with because I understand the situation. And it's small amounts, so it's not terrible. However,
cool.
We had a showing for our house on Thursday.
Oh, really?
The house was on the market for a while. We had our first showing in 3 months on Thursday. House was relatively clean because we spent some time cleaning it.
Mm-hmm.
And I put the candles on. It was very nice. We left. The dogs were locked up in a room, so they were out of the way. And that night, apparently the cat started having problems with her bladder.
Mm.
Well, the 2 male dogs, Mark.
Oh, of course they do.
Now, normally that only happens outside, you know, and when Gracie goes, the 2 males follow along and Mark on top of each other.
Yep.
Perfectly normal male dog behavior. Perfectly normal.
Yes, it is.
Except for when the cat did it, then the dogs did it.
Oh, God.
Barked on the cat. I woke up Friday morning and I swear this house was just, it reeked everywhere. It was just nightmares. We spent Friday and Saturday with the power steam cleaner,
mm-hmm.
and I'm glad the house has been open for 4 days because we couldn't stand it for about 3 days.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, and let me tell you, if anybody's looking for a couple of dogs and a cat.
Yeah, you got them.
I'm willing to share at this point.
Yep.
Oh, not good. So, anyways, of the trials and tribulations of having animals.
Oh, boy. You know, they tie
you
down.
We are 2 weeks into the school year here.
Uh-huh.
And this is CJ's current opinion of high school.
Uh-oh.
It's cool.
All right.
She likes all of her teachers.
Yeah.
She likes all of her classes. And she's really getting into this idea that there's lots of people that she can meet and make friends with.
How cool. That is outstanding.
So it's very, very good.
Yes.
Now, if we could just get the Congress to do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I saw a Twitter, a Twitter post that said, if Congress outlaws calling people's fellow Congress people liars and hypocrites, what else do they have to say?
Good night.
Yeah, maybe.
No.
See you next session. I don't know. I'm something.
Let's talk about decorum.
Oh boy.
You know, that's the whole idea with the animals. The decorum. You know, let's see who can piddle more on the next piddle to see see whose stench is going to be left over last.
Yeah, let's just mark all our territory there.
Okay. Joe Wilson, moron. That's going to get me a lot of friends in the Conservative Party. You know, I understand exactly what he did. I understand why he did it.
Yep.
And I absolutely agree with his thought.
Yep.
And not the right place, Joe.
You know what?
No,
we have had congressmen practically caned to death on the House floor. Give me a break.
I agree. And so that was a good thing?
I'm saying it wasn't necessarily a bad thing.
I will suggest this, okay, that the most intelligent thing that could have happened on Wednesday night, the most intelligent thing that could happen would have been for the Republicans to stand up and as a single unit say, "You're lying, Mr. President," and get up and walk out. Now, that would have been an ultimate sign of disrespect, but the man was up there lying his ass off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it is a very sad day in America when you cannot stand up and say, "That's a lie." That's just, I'm sorry, that just, I mean, that happened to President Bush. That has happened to other presidents. I'm sorry, folks are just playing political games with this.
Well, I absolutely believe that particular, look, when I saw Pelosi's face, I died laughing. I thought it was great. Okay? So my initial reaction to that particular thing was, he's lying through his ass. He might be the president of the United States. He might be standing before Congress, but he is definitely lying through his ass.
Yep.
However, I still don't think it was the appropriate time to do it. If the alternative, I think, would have been, it would have been even a worse sign of disrespect for the entire delegation to get up and turn and walk out. But he wasn't giving a State of the Union address.
No, he was not.
This was a commercial for his health care program, and you know what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this wasn't a declaration of war. This wasn't a president coming to Congress and saying, "You need to give us money because we have a threat to our country that we need to address."
That's right.
This was a man that wanted health care simply because it's a political, albatross around the Democrats' neck, and it's going to be permanently glued there
by
the end of this year. So I'm, My point is, you know, there could have been lots of other ways of dealing with it other than a lone voice shouting and interrupting. You know what? Sorry. You know, didn't need it. But how? Well, let me back down. Let me back down here for a second.
Okay.
If Joe Wilson, or let's pick someone really on the other side. Let's say Chris Dodd had stood up and go, "You go, Mr. President."
Mm.
Would anybody have been sanctioning him?
Nope.
So it is not the interruption that was the issue.
No.
Right?
No.
It's the content of the interruption.
Exactly.
That's a free speech issue.
Yes, it is. And you know what? Granted, Congress has the power to censure their own members. Nobody else. You cannot hold any congressman or senator responsible in any other venue for any remarks that they make on the House or the Senate floor.
Which means they can, and I understand that.
Yeah.
All of this big to brouhaha today was absolutely zero because they can't impact any of his committee ships.
Nope.
They can't affect any of his, you know, any of the numbers or anything else that goes on with his position. This is simply, you know, the House standing up and going, "You bad boy."
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And everybody's sitting down again.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
All right. On the basis that the interruption in itself would have not been an issue, that it was simply the content that was the issue, that's
mm-hmm.
a free speech thing, and I hereby stand by the idea that Joe Wilson should have taken off the shoe and thrown it.
Yeah.
Apparently, the left would have been happier with that.
I'm thinking. Yep.
So that's what I think. You know,
yep.
But you and I have talked on numerous occasions, both on and off the show.
Yes.
About my particular point of view that the biggest problem, not the biggest problem, one of the major problems we have in this country is a lack of respect for each other.
Yes.
And so that's where my position is as far as Wilson was concerned, is it shows a lack of respect. However, I reiterate, the President of the United States standing in front of Congress and in front of 20 million Americans was lying his ass off.
Yes, he was.
That was disrespectful.
That, and that is an important point. I ran across, I had the pleasure of playing with some liberal progressive trolls today at Shock and Swag somethings and that kind of stuff. And I ran across one that I followed. And I followed her, and this is my pet gloat on Twitter. And I followed her. I actually asked her if I could, and she said, "Sure, but remember I'm a liberal," and da-da-da-da-da. And I said, "You know, I don't care whether you're a liberal or not. The point is, you engage in rational, civil discourse. And that is what I am interested in." And she does.
Right. Yeah, I have a large quantity of follows and followers
mm-hmm.
that are liberal.
Absolutely.
Because, frankly, I'm not interested in hearing one side of a story.
No, I mean, that's an echo chamber. That just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so I'm interested in hearing a whole lots of different points of view. I'm not necessarily going to agree with all those points of view.
Nope.
But I've gotten into many, many, many conversations with many people that have become quite heated, but at the same token, still respectful.
Exactly.
And that's kind of the point you're making, I'm making. That, you know, you can be passionate.
Yes.
Be passionate.
Have to be.
but you can be respectful about it.
Yes,
and,
you can.
You know,
you don't have to call names. You don't have to say, oh, you silly libtard, and et cetera, et cetera. You can say, here's the arguments. Here's what I believe. Here's why I believe that. And you carry on this actually, for me, fascinating conversation. And I value that. My pet Gloat is a perfect example of that. She and I will probably not agree on more than three or four issues. But we will present our arguments in a rational basis, and while we may not agree with each other, we will accept that each other holds that conviction honestly.
That's all I ask.
Absolutely.
You know, have a principle, stand by that principle, stand up for the consequences of those principles.
Yep.
And whether I agree with those principles or not, I will honor that position.
Absolutely.
So, let's staying on topic of the speech here, let's go
yes.
a little bit. You know, I'm sitting here calling the President of the United States a liar. Let's be a little bit specific about it. We will not raise one red, you know, there will be no additional cost. Lie.
Yes. Absolute lie.
We're not going to reduce Medicare. Lie.
Right.
We're not going to cover illegal aliens. Lie.
Yeah.
We're not going to cover abortion. Lie.
Yeah.
People are lying about what's going on. Lie.
Yep. Yes, indeed.
Okay. So the man, just kept on harping. You know, I absolutely believe that he is one of those people that believes that if you say a lie often enough and loud enough, people will start thinking it's the truth.
Yes. Yep.
Well,
the big lie.
That only works is if nobody repeats something different.
Or says, that's a lie, and here's why.
Right.
Yep.
Somebody jumps into that, you know.
That's exactly.
You know,
I mean, if the emperor has no clothes.
Right. As long as everybody says the emperor has no clothes, he's fine.
Yep.
So, you know, I think the speech, it certainly did nothing to help him. I've got to suggest to you that it did a fair amount of good things for the 9/12 gathering and for conservatives in general.
Yes,
because
it did.
It continued to harden, and I mean that in a very religious way, it continued to harden the hearts of conservatives against his policies.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
not against him.
No,
you know, people keep saying, yeah, tell me one good thing about Barack Obama. Tell me if there's one good thing you can say about Barack Obama. Apparently, he's a really good dad.
I have nothing that I could refute that with.
You know, and apparently, given the way his wife is affectionate to him, he apparently is a pretty good husband.
I also have nothing to refute that with either.
Given the quality of the character of the man, the last Democrat that held that position, I would suggest that that's an incredible improvement.
Absolutely.
Okay, now, beyond all that.
Yeah. Let's talk about policy.
His policies, his principles are offensive to me.
Absolutely.
They are dangerous to the country. I don't have to worry about Barack Obama failing.
No.
I don't. His policies, even if they're enacted, will fail.
Absolutely. There is no doubt in my mind.
It might take a while for it to happen. We might have
in fact, it is designed to make sure that it does not jeopardize any re-election prospects he might have.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not implement anything until a year after I get re-elected.
That's exactly right.
And by the time anybody has an idea of what the hell's going on, he's going to be walking out the door.
Mm-hmm.
See ya! I get $250,000 $1,000 a year for the rest of my life. See
yep.
ya.
Yeah. Have a nice life, folks. Gee, do we have another example of that? Perhaps FDR.
Nah, Carter.
Oh, no. You can go back
further
than
that. Oh, I know
what
you're thinking about. Oh,
yep.
You're
FDR.
Talking about policies that are implemented that take some time but actually
yep.
absolutely fail.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, look at all of the things that have happened since FDR. We have had progressive presidents that have enacted, I mean, FDR, Social Security. I'm sorry, that's broke. Can't exist the way it currently is. We have the War on Poverty, LBJ. I'm sorry, broke, can't exist the way it is. We have innumerable examples of those policies enacted with progressives that are failing. The United States Post Office folks are failing. They lose $6-point-some-odd billion a year, and they are failing. And that is a constitutionally mandated service.
Let's talk about why the idea that you can predict the future in such a way for a program that's going to last generations,
mm-hmm.
why you can't predict that future, why those predictions have failed.
Okay.
Let me give you some examples.
Okay.
Okay. FDR implemented all these programs in the 30s.
Yes.
Do you think, at the time that he did so, that he could even conceive of two things that I'm going to relate in a second? But I want you to think about him in the 30s. Here's the two things. Do you think he could have conceived of the idea of an atom bomb?
Mm-mm. It wasn't there.
The
physics weren't there.
Do you think he could have conceived of the idea of putting a man on the moon?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So now let's go from FDR in the 30s up to John Kennedy and the 60s.
Okay.
Okay. Now we find Johnson and his new great society.
Oh, yeah. The War on Poverty.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you think that Johnson could have conceived of the idea that you could have a computer on your desk?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Just...
I mean, they took up a city block at that point in time.
Do you think he could have conceived of the idea of what we're doing right here, right now?
Nope. Not a chance.
Okay. Now, let's move to the 90s.
Okay.
Okay. Well, let's move it right up to here. Let's move it up to right now.
Right now.
Right now. Okay. Barack Obama wants to institute one of the largest, government-run social service programs in the history of the United States. Do you think he can envision any major event technological? That's primarily where I'm going, because technology is going to change the society.
Yes.
Do you think anyone right now in this administration can conceive of the possibility that 25 years from now, there will be no internet.
Nope.
There will be no car that we
nope.
know of.
Nope.
That there will be longevity in the range of 130 years.
Nope.
But all those things are not only possible to contemplate at this point, they're probable based on what is happening today.
Absolutely.
What will happen to a healthcare system when the average lifespan It's 130 years old.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up. Did you know that in Japan, there are 40,000 people over the age of 100?
Cool.
Yeah.
I was
going
to say, oh, crap, but I'm going to say
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I understand. All I'm saying is this. Nobody today can accurately predict what happens 10 years from now, let alone 20, 30, or 50 years from now. I mean, I'm sorry. A few years ago, there was this whole thing about futurists. Oh, what was society going to look like? None of them predicted what was happening today, and just as an example, the failure of the lamestream media to report current events. Nobody predicted that. Nobody predicted that there would be an alternative source of news and information, i.e. Twitter, the net, that would fulfill that service to society. Nobody predicted that. Nobody. How do we think that somebody can today say, oh, here is how healthcare has to work for generations? I'm sorry, that doesn't work. It does not work. And forget the whole healthcare thing. Forget that. Off to the side, doesn't matter, happens or doesn't happen. Nobody can predict that far in the future what technology will bring us. And to do so labels yourself as a fool. Little mini rant there.
Speaking of fools.
Yes.
More and more people are getting this idea. We started it right here. You and I.
Yep.
3 weeks ago. You and I. 3 weeks ago. The idea, the premise. Okay? This idea that the racism premise. The race card has been used so often that it is no longer anything more than a joke or in the deck.
Yep. I was called that multiple times today on Twitter.
You and
I laughed.
Talked about the idea that the reality, if somebody throws racism out at this point, you can guarantee that person is an idiot.
Yep.
And uninformed.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so now I want the leftists to throw it out because that's an easy way for me to say, okay, you're an idiot and you're uninformed. I don't need to listen to you. Okay?
Yep.
Because you obviously haven't got a clue what the hell you're talking about. So, you know, that's just kind of like, you know, dismiss. Now, that doesn't suggest that I'm not interested in hearing opinions, but someone calling me a name, you know, is not an opinion.
No.
You know? So, I'm glad to see more and more people are getting up onto this situation where somebody says you're racist, and instead of what has happened for 40 years, you know, somebody says, "Well, you're a racist." Well, no, I'm not. I really like.
Right. Yeah.
You're now as likely to get somebody come back at you mean, angry, and pissed off.
Exactly.
As you get somebody that simply start to apologizing. Oh, I didn't mean to offend you. Bullshit. I'm offending you. Are you offended?
Yeah.
Good.
You bet.
Good.
Are you offended? Oh, I did my job. Thank you.
Yeah. This point, you're likely to get you're going to get set back on your heels.
Yep.
Okay. Now, Barack Obama's speech was intended to let's see. Was he going to turn any Republican minds? Sitting up there pointing his finger, saying that we're lying about him and his programs, and lying his teeth. Yeah, that wasn't going to work. Okay? So anybody that had any political mind that thought that speech was going to have any impact on the Republican side,
yeah,
he'd be fired right now because as a political consultant, they suck.
Well, not only Republicans, independents.
Yeah, absolutely going to turn him off.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So the only other alternative was that he was talking to his Democratic, party to try and get them arm twisted into it. And given his finger pointing and his wagging and his lying, I got a hunch he wasn't going to win any, especially on the Blue Dog side, he wasn't going to win any converts.
No.
For people that, are honestly trying to do something good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just stepping in and saying, you guys are screwing things up, fix it.
Exactly.
I don't think he certainly wasn't going to win any there. And then, who did the poll that came out like 20 minutes after the speech was over and said, big bump? And then we found out later that it was like 4 times more Democrats in the poll than there were Republicans.
Oh, yeah, that was that.
ABC,
CNN? It was ABC or NBC, one of those, yeah.
One of them. Okay,
yep.
So that dismissed that out of him. So he got a little bump. There was no doubt he was going to get a little bit of bump.
Oh, he got a little bump. Rasmussen showed a little bump.
Right, because
Unfortunately, the latest poll out of Rasmussen, who is a likely voter poll, shows that it is exactly right back where it was prior to his speech.
Okay. Speaking about you, Bill.
Me personally, okay.
You personally.
Okay.
You fall into the same trap that a whole lot of us fall into.
Hmm.
Here's the trap. Do you know how many users are on Twitter?
11 million? I don't know. So I'm a bunch.
4 million.
I heard 11 million, but that's fine. I'll go with your 4 million number. That's good. That's okay.
How many people know what a blog is?
Probably somewhat more than that, but...
The suggestion is somewhere around 35 or 40 million.
Okay.
How many people watch the network news?
A very significantly smaller number.
But if all you get is the news off of...
Right.
What
ABC, NBC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, Yep.
You found out on Monday morning... week ago,
mm-hmm.
that some advisor to the president resigned.
Yes, he did.
Didn't know who he was, didn't know why it happened, but he resigned.
Yep.
And on Sunday, you woke up, or maybe late in the afternoon on Saturday, you found out that there was some kind of protest going on in Washington, D.C. A couple thousand people showed up.
Yeah, something like that.
Now,
maybe only 10. Who knows?
We are extremely well-connected.
Oh, yeah.
Extremely well-informed. But I read a post from somebody that was at 912.
Yep.
Okay? And he went to the train station, and he asked 100 people if they knew what Twitter was.
And?
Zero.
Really?
Zero.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, 9/12 happened not because of Twitter, although it certainly helped because the people at the higher levels that are doing a lot of the organizing certainly use it to do lots of conversations. But I would suggest to you that, you and I both know this. 9/12 was a grassroots, solidly, built from the ground up event.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But it wasn't, from everything that I'm reading, from everyone that was there and everybody that's done some paying attention to it, it also was not a technology-driven event.
Really?
My question is, where are these people getting this information? If they're not knowing what's going on with the blogs, if they're not Twitter-oriented, you know, this is an amazing situation. It means that there's a whole different set of ways people are getting information right now beyond what we're doing.
I would suggest this. When the information that you have contradicts that which you believe, you need to check your premises. By the way, that's a literary reference. I will leave it up to our listeners to deduce what literary reference that is.
Oh. I'm kind of interested in how that's going to happen. How things in the future will happen. I've made my comments as far as that is concerned elsewhere.
Yep.
Let's continue to talk about what Obama tried to do on Wednesday. Well, no, let me say, he failed to do what he wanted to do.
Yes, he did.
That's clear. So my question over the weekend was, and when it was clear that he had failed on Wednesday, my question was, exactly what has he succeeded in doing over the last 8 months? Now,
other than piss a whole lot of people off?
Well, in the last 8 months, we've had three things that have happened that I would suggest have some impact in our day-to-day lives.
Okay.
One, minimum wage has been increased.
Yes, it has. To the detriment of every teenager out there.
But, you know, the left absolutely does not care about the economics of the situation. We've been fighting it for 25 years, 30 years. They just don't care.
Yep.
It's an irrelevant point to them. As far as they're concerned, the rich people that own those businesses can suck it up, and they're going to do it anyways.
Yep.
And the entire idea that people are actually supporting families on minimum wage jobs, is ludicrous, especially when you know that many illegal immigrants are not getting paid minimum wage. They're getting paid more than minimum wage.
Yes.
Not significantly. I'm not talking about $20 an hour.
Right.
They're being paid $7, $8, $9 an hour, in some cases $10 or $12 an hour.
Yes,
you
indeed.
Know, they're not being paid $6 an hour.
Mm-mm.
All right. So minimum wage, not that he had a whole lot to do with it. That was something that was probably coming down the pipe anyways.
Yep.
The stimulus, he didn't have anything to do with that. That was an animal. He said, I want it before he became president. This was something that was going to happen and going to be set up so that when he walked in the place, he was going to be able to sign it.
Yep. Well, the first one. Not the second one, but the first one.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm talking about
not TARP, but ERA.
Right.
Yeah.
TARP was last year.
Well, yeah, and that's on Bush.
That's on ERA, Bush.
ERA is on him.
Right. He signed it. It's his. Of course, the idea that, you know, they rammed it through Congress in 2 days and then it sat on his desk for three.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But we have to pass it right now. No.
Right
don't read
now.
That, sucker. Yeah,
God,
right.
Pass it right now.
Yeah, right.
All right. So, you know, he didn't have a whole lot to do with that other than to say, get it done before he was president
mm-hmm.
so that I could sign it as soon as I walk in the door.
Yep.
So we have stimulus. We have the minimum wage increase.
Mm-hmm.
What other thing have we actually implemented in the last 8 months? And the only other thing that I could come up with was cash for clunkers.
Oh, boy. What an outstanding example of government efficiency at work.
You and I don't agree on this, but economically, I told you it was going to have an impact.
Negative.
It was going to do what it was supposed to do, which was to stimulate some things. Now, it was going to be bad in the long run because it's going to steal from the future.
Yes, it
does. We have all kinds of costs associated with it.
Yep.
It's going to skew the marketplace, but it did exactly what it was supposed to do, which was to get a quarter of a million, well, actually, it's almost 700,000, you know, cars sold in 6 weeks.
Yep.
Did that, and that was
the
most what he
of them
done.
Being foreign marks.
Yes, 60% of them were foreign manufacturers.
Yep.
However, almost 80% of that was still going to be built in the United States, anyways.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Which is what most people forget, but yeah.
Right. All right. So tell me, here is a man who was elected in the most in a historical election. A historical presidency.
Yeah, right.
Entered into the presidency with hope and change.
Yes.
Tell me, after 8 months, exactly how much hope and change has actually occurred.
My personal opinion, zero, but I'm willing to listen to other arguments.
I won't say zero. But I'm going to use a single digit on a scale of 1 to 1,000.
Yeah.
It's not much.
No, it
okay.
isn't.
So how much political capital has he burned, you know, without really getting anything done? Cap and trade is dead.
Oh, yeah.
Card check is dead.
Yep.
Healthcare
is on life support.
Healthcare is exactly. It's on life support, but I got a sneaking suspicion that, you know, if you took a check at the brainwaves, they're probably flatlined.
Yeah, I suspect. Yeah.
It might be in a persistent vegetative state for the next 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, and we all know what the liberal interpretation of that is, and that's pull the plug.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be interested in pulling the plug on this one.
Yeah, well,
but and I, you know, I'm a firm believer. You know, this is an albatross around their neck, and it's going to be there because.
Yep. Actually,
Obama,
I like the millstone.
The millstone idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's throwing everybody under the bus to get this. You know.
Oh yeah.
The pro-abortion people, you know, he's basically said there's going to be, you know. An abortion restriction in the health care reform bill. Of course, the pro-abortion people are just nuts about that.
Well, oh, yeah.
We're not going to pass anything with that. Well, you're not going to pass anything with it either.
That's okay. Exactly right.
The pro-illegal immigrant movement was looking forward to that being in the law. He said, you know, we're going to get rid of that. However, it's been repeated often enough, and I absolutely agree, that if it's in place, the Supreme Court will rule they have to get it.
Yep, yep, yep.
So,
equal protection and all that.
So I think that's, you know, the fact that it's off the table, everyone's being told, don't worry about it, it might take 2 or 3 extra years, but we're not going to start this until 2013, and by then we should be able to take care of the legal aspects and make sure that they're covered.
Yeah, exactly.
But for the moment, he's throwing that under the bus.
Yep.
And then, on a completely unrelated note, but it's something that, of course, is near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
You know, he's thrown the gays under the bus and backed it up and rolled it over a couple of times.
Okay.
He's reiterated his support for DOMA.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And... you know, the Justice Department has filed a brief in a case supporting that. Since
oh,
he's been
I hadn't heard that.
Since he's been president. So, they're not really exactly happy with them. And apparently, somebody is coming up for confirmation, either it was today or this week. Don't Ask, Don't Tell is coming up.
Oh, really? Okay.
In a confirmation hearing, and apparently it's going to be reinforced.
Really? Okay.
Which is just going to piss the game off.
Well, okay, and let me add to that. I heard today, haven't confirmed it yet, but heard today that the Patriot Act is to be reconfirmed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's got to be driving the libs bat stuff crazy.
Well, this, you know what? My opinion is that no matter what president, no matter who becomes president,
yeah,
in the end, they're not going to do something that is overtly, can be overtly placed on them if an attack happens.
Okay. Yep.
So they're going to do things that, regardless of what the left wants, is going to prevent a situation where, if an attack happens, it can be laid at their feet.
Okay. I'm following that.
So, you know, in the long run, I didn't think Obama would be stupid enough to gut the war on terror in the way that the left wants it done, simply because, you know, he doesn't want to be, you know, the next 623 president.
You're right.
Or 310 president.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
yeah, exactly. I, you know, this is a guy who lives on semantics.
Yeah.
I mean, he absolutely lives on it. He, you know, belches forth a lot of words that when you break the words down, doesn't say anything. I mean,
right.
It's absolutely amazing.
He's Chauncey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He's absolutely Chauncey.
Yeah.
Minus the walking on the water part.
Well, yeah. There's that whole water walking thing, but, you know, what the hell.
Yeah, but he's Chauncey. Everybody, you know, he says something, and everybody hears what they want to hear out of it.
You know, he said that in one of his two books, that he was a blank page, that whatever it was that you wanted, you could read that into it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he was not dishonest about it.
Great. We have a blank page and an empty suit as the President of the United States.
Exactly.
Joy, joy, joy. Don't
yeah, right.
Heart.
Exactly what
Don't
we need.
Don't Look, I will suggest this. Barack Obama has done one thing in the last 8 months that actually took George Bush 8 years.
What, united all the conservatives together?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Barack Obama in 8 months has made the conservative base a unified force, something George Bush couldn't do in 8 years.
Exactly. You know,
thank you, Barack Obama.
Exactly.
But I will say, I am one of the vindicated few. I said
yeah.
it a year ago.
Yeah?
It would be terrible for our country and great for our country if Barack Obama became president, because it would do more to unify and strengthen the base than it would than anything else possible.
Boy, yeah, that's true. That is absolutely true.
He has also spent more money in 8 months than George Bush did in 8 years.
Yeah, I know.
I posted it on the weekend. The stimulus is costing us, I think it was $62 million a day.
Oh, is that all? Okay, fine.
$62 million a day in interest.
Oh, in interest. Okay.
Interest. And that's at 2.5% interest.
Yep.
At 2.5% interest, the stimulus bill is costing us $62 million a day.
That's a lot
class
of
money. I think Class for Clunkers is costing us like, I don't know, $8 or $9 million a day, something like that.
I'm I don't know. It was a $2 billion program, and then they added another $3 billion, I think, or something.
So, $62 million a day.
Wow.
No. Now I'm going to have to sit there and have to do it again.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Look out.
We've got 9 minutes.
Uh-oh.
787. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Okay. 0, 2, 5. So we have 787. Okay. Times 0.025 equals 196. Then we've got to add 9 zeros, take away 3, so we add 6 zeros. Yeah, that's right. I was wrong.
Oops.
I'm sorry, it's not 62. Wait, that's per year. Okay. Divided by 365, 364, Tracy. 75 divided by 364. 54052. That's 6 zeros. That can't be right.
Oops.
$4 billion a day. Is that possible?
Well, I don't know. 60. What'd you say? 63 million a day?
I think it's $63 billion a day.
Oh, 63 billion. Ooh. 3 times 365 equals. That's
787.
No,
1, 2,
that
3,
doesn't make
4,
sense.
5, 6, 7, 8,
that's 22 trillion bucks.
0.025 divided by 364. That says $54 million per day.
54 million
per day.
54 times 365 equals. That's $19.7 billion a year.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
$19 billion a year in interest.
Just on what?
Just on the stimulus. Just the stimulus.
And just the interest.
Just the interest, just the stimulus. And the other side about this is, again, something else I said over the weekend to somebody else. That's not, you know, we've added, you know, the deficit's going to be $1.6 trillion this year. Okay?
Yeah.
And we've added, roughly speaking, about $10 trillion to the debt over the next couple of years because of what he's done.
Yep.
Okay. What nobody pays any attention to is that the Fed has added $2.2 trillion to its balance sheet.
Oh, yeah.
$2 trillion to its balance sheet. That's an insane amount of money on the Fed's balance sheet.
Yeah.
Insane amount on there. Now, let's talk about, we only got like 5 minutes left.
Okay.
Are we coming out of a recession?
My gut feel is no, but the numbers don't really support that.
Right. We're going to have positive GDP in the third quarter. It's going to be a close thing. They're going to manipulate it a little bit. We're going to have positive GDP in the third quarter. Okay. I also believe, I wrote it down somewhere, who has September and who has October? I have September for 10%, right?
And
in September,
yes.
We would note in October, and you said a month later, we would note in November?
Yep.
Okay, so I have September at 10%, you have October at 10%.
Yes.
Okay. Unemployment is going to hit 10% probably in October. Report it in November.
Okay.
Okay. Retail sales were up higher than expected, which suggests that the back-to-school was actually doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you did any back-to-school, and I know you did not, let me tell you, prices were through the floor on everything. I mean, I think we spent $100 for clothes on CJ, and she probably got 15 or 16 different pieces. You know, we probably on her, well, we spent a fair amount of money on a scientific financial, you know, computer and a calculator. So not counting that, I think we spent less than $30 on her supplies for school. The calculator cost about $125. I would suggest that we're probably going to do exactly what everyone expected, which is we'll come up for a breath of air in the third quarter, and then Christmas will crash and burn,
mm-hmm.
the likes of which we haven't seen in a long time.
Yep.
And no matter how much confidence they try to instill going into Christmas, I don't think it's going to be there when we got 10% unemployment.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
because
folks,
it's going to get really close.
I mean,
to 20.
Don't fixate on 10%. Fixate on the number of people that that represents. And then think about, okay, 70% of our economy is based on consumer spending. And then do the math.
Right. As a percentage, we are a long way from the depression level unemployment.
Yep.
As numbers go, we've already exceeded it.
Oh, big time. Yes.
So we have more unemployed now than we're unemployed during the Great Depression. As a percentage,
yep.
it's still a long way below that.
Yes,
but,
absolutely.
You know, we're at 16.3 unemployment. None of this 9.7 crap.
Yeah, I know. 16.3.
Yeah. I don't think we'll hit 20 this year for U6, but I'm betting we might get up into the high 18s.
And what do you think about next year?
You know,
I just start thinking about on a U6 basis, 20% plus in 2010. I mean,
I think we'll stabilize through most of next year.
Okay.
I think we'll have a flat U recession.
Okay.
But where that number will be, I can't tell you. I think we've got a fair number. I think we've got another 20% to go. Another 20-25% to go, which is approaching 11% on normal and 20% on U6, and another 1.5 to 2.5% negative on GDP.
Mm-hmm.
Before we've hit some sort of level of bottom, kind of depends on whatever. Frankly, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Exactly. Yep.
I am. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yep.
And I'm afraid when that'll happen, because when it's going to happen, well, you know Coyle's Law.
Yeah.
Murphy was an optimist.
Yes, he was.
And the corollary to Coyle's Law is anything that can go wrong is going to go wrong at the absolute worst time and
yep.
in the worst way.
Yep. And that's the optimist.
Do your shutout.
Hey, okay, all of my CT buddies, Arkansas Traveler, Marine Major, Just Me Pammy, thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Just hang in there with us.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be a rather interesting fall.
Oh, boy.
We'll leave with animals again.
All right.
Good night, Bill.
Night, Tracy.
What happened to me? Show is no longer streaming, so those of you that have stayed with us to the podcast, you know,
Are we in after hours now?
We are in after hours now.
Okay.
Cool. I know you're not going to hang around late tonight,
yep.
But we're not going to have a long podcast coming up for this.
Yep.
But, you know, I did find it rather interesting that there was very little the technological stuff that was... the people that didn't know about Twitter, didn't know about blogs, seems to be a rather large percentage. Now, it might have been just an odd, you know, group that he happened to pick, you know, pick on. He said he was there for about an hour.
Hmm. Well.
So, I find that to be rather strange.
Yeah.
Yes,
I'm on Twitter. Yes, I read blogs and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's going to sound strange to me. But I can't. I mean, I really can't fathom anybody that is on the net that isn't reading at least blogs and is probably on Twitter. Now, how active are they? Who knows? I tend to be pretty active on Twitter, but I can understand why some people wouldn't. I mean, it is really hard to carry on a conversation to edit 140 characters. On the other hand, I know that I have gotten more and better information when I click through on the links out of Twitter than I have ever gotten out of the mainstream media.
Yeah, well, you know, you and I both did the same thing as a whole lot of other people when Gibbs. Said,
oh, Jesus. Gibson?
Yeah. No, Charlie? Not Gibson. I'm talking about Gibbs on Friday or Monday when he said nobody knew about the big protest on Saturday.
Oh.
And, of course, we all just said, well, that's a load of crock of shit because, if a million people are showing up in Washington, D.C. and the Secret Service and the CIA didn't know about it, we've got a lot bigger problems in this country than Barack Obama and health care.
Well, the bombshell for me this morning was Charlie Gibson of ABC News, right? Big man on ABC News. Did that whole Sarah Palin thing and trapped her in with that, well, explain the Monroe Doctrine to me, et cetera, et cetera. Had no idea about the Acorn stuff. Didn't know anything about it.
And the question
you have to ask
is, why is he lying, or heaven forbid that he's not?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. I mean, I can't believe that.
I can't. Right, I can't. It's just beyond the capacity to understand that somebody at that level,
right,
at the mainstream press, not knowing about it.
Exactly. I mean, how could you not know about that?
And then you got to think about this, okay? So he couldn't not know about it. So
right.
Why does he think he can get away with lying about it?
Exactly.
No one of consequence is going to call him on it?
Well, the Twitterverse certainly did. Lord.
Yeah. But again, you know, my point is, you know, 4 million people.
You know, I'm not.
I know you don't like that number.
Well, I've heard 11. You're saying 4, and I'm saying okay. Well, I'm whatever that number is. But on the other hand, it's kind of like if you aren't connected up with Twitter, you probably aren't understanding a whole lot of things that are going on. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. My phone was beeping at me, so I had to switch handsets here.
I wanted to actually find out and see if I could find out how many Twitters are there about us. Let's see. Does it say, how many Twitters? What's next? Twitter employees. How do you make that?
It probably doesn't matter what that number is. Frankly, I mean, truly, I don't think it matters. What matters is who are the opinion shapers and where are they? And I would tell you, at least my humble opinion is, if you aren't on Twitter, you're not an opinion shaper, you're an opinion follower.
Okay, I agree that at this particular point in time,
yep,
that, if you're not at this, this is not Facebook where there's a whole billion kids playing.
Exactly.
This isn't, what's the other one? Facebook.
I'm drawing a blank. I'll chalk it down to old age.
MySpace.
There you go, MySpace. Yeah.
MySpace. This isn't MySpace. This isn't Facebook. This is, I will agree with this. If you walk into Twitter and sign up, Twitter is incredibly intimidating.
Oh, absolutely.
It is not shy. It is not something you're just going to be able to step in and start using. You're going to have to find some tools to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody that is actively involved in Twitter is doing so off the Twitter stream.
Exactly.
I mean, everybody has a tool that they're using.
Yep.
TweetDeck is one of them.
Uber Twitter, Seismic,
Twitter
Destroyer.
You need a tool to be able to work with it to manage it.
Yep. If you're working with it only off the web, you're losing a whole lot.
Right. So, you've got to manage it. So it's not just a matter of figuring out how to use Twitter. It's a matter of how to figure out using other software to be able to manage
yep.
and then get involved in Twitter. So,
yep.
You're going to have a significant number of people that are going to be tech literate, tech savvy,
mm-hmm.
to be able to get up and get using it.
Absolutely.
So I agree. So what we're going to have is a whole lot more people that are movers and shakers, opinion drivers, actually in there, which is why the spam is so, is trying, but is also getting beaten down pretty much, anytime something like that happens, even remotely.
Oh, absolutely. God, I must have blocked 5 or 6 of those porn peoples today. I just, they're ubiquitous.
So, I think you're right. I think it is the movers and shakers. So the question is, why isn't something like the mainstream press, all over it?
Well, and you know they are.
Right, they're there. We see them.
At NBC is there. At Jake Tapper is there. At Major at White House or whatever the heck it is there. And I sent some messages to Jake Tapper telling him today about, come on, Jake. ABC has got to look at this whole Acorn thing. What are you people doing? Got no response, but I I have gotten responses from him before on comments that I have made. So I know that he sees it. All I'm saying is this. If they aren't actively using it and actively using it to drive their news coverage, did they miss a bet.
Right, because we're going to see more. If we have an event in this country that is similar in tone to the Iranian election, post-election event,
yes,
you know, we're going to see the people that have been around Twitter for a long time. We're going to see that driving the
agenda.
Oh,
absolutely.
It's going to be driving the agenda.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know, because people are going to jump on and they're going to start paying attention to who's doing it. You know, and, you know, I just looked, you know, at mine, and, you know, I'm not a big person on Twitter.
Me either.
Well.
Well, I mean, I'm not. I mean, you know, you get people out there with 500,000 followers and that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, I'm not big.
I'm not talking about. No, you know, I'm not talking about the celebs where they it's basically
I know.
A Facebook
but,
type.
But thing. You have people with 25,000. In fact,
right.
I have not followed some of those people just because they're SEOs and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, but I'm yes, indeed. You know, Twitter is a valuable tool. It would be a shame to see it degraded. And I think that's a possibility. And I am not a conspiracy theorist.
No, but you know what? We have a certain amount of control over how that happens.
Yep.
And I think people will do that. You're not going to have somebody that decides on Friday to jump into an event that's already going on that's going to be able to have any impact at all.
Oh, exactly.
You know, on by Saturday on the process. You know, if you're not into Twitter now and building up a base now, you know, forget about it. It's going to take a week. To get a point where you could even begin to have any kind of, you know, impact. Not even impact. Where you would even begin to getting any kind of notice at all.
Yeah.
So it's not something that's just jumps in there. All right. I'm going to let you go have dinner.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll cut this podcast a little bit short this week. You know, we'll see what happens next week.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm sure we're going to have plenty of stuff to talk about.
Oh, God, we are never going to run out of material.
Seems how my list of things to discuss today was exactly two items long.
Yeah, well, and did we cover both of them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as we covered both of them, that was good.
We got it done.
All right, kiddo. I will talk to you later.
Have a week.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.